want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs from Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to be spending the next half hour with you right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. We pray that you are off to a great and glorious start. If you did not have the greatest weekend in the world, I pray that that this week will be better. We had our annual missions convention yesterday, where it's a mission service, and where we are believing God to help us to do more for the kingdom of God in 2020 than we were able to do in 2019, which was more than we were able to do in 2018. We are praying not only that God will provide us seed to sow, but he will also provide for his people in this community the food in God's house, that there would be food to eat, that there would be strength to be gained for service to be done for the glory of Jesus Christ. So that's what our weekend was looked like. We didn't have service last night, but we will be gathering again in the near future on Sunday night. I want to take you back to Psalm 18 today. Psalm 18. We're going to be looking at this, the fact that God is our deliverer, and it is a major theme of Psalm 18. Yesterday, we were in verse number 43. It says, "You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted." So yesterday we had talked about God makes a way of escape from us, from the strivings, the arguments, the attacks that people have, whether they're personal, whether they're legal, whether they're occupational or physical attacks. He delivers us from controversy. I think that one of the things that every church should have as one of its goals is to avoid embarrassing the kingdom of God. And, you know, whether that's, I think that pastors need to make sure that they don't embarrass the kingdom of God. I believe that church people should also have that as a very high goal in their life, is to be delivered from any controversy that would bring shame to Jesus, that would thus make it harder for people to accept the fact that Jesus loves them. I heard of a situation recently where a person was compelled to do something by a person who was giving all of the lip service that they could to everybody around, making them think that they were just so passionately in love with Jesus, when in actuality they were serving other things. And now the person whose behavior was impacted because of that person has a very difficult time relating to God because of what this other person did. Let's not make it harder for people to hear about Jesus. Let's make it easier for them to understand the fact that Jesus loves them. So David says, "You have made me the head of the nations." In other words, he did not just make a way of escape for David. He made a way for David to be positioned as a person of authority, not just over his own people, but over a group of people who were not native to the area. It is a very good thing when people rule in righteousness. Okay? The only people who are threatened when righteousness is employed from the throne are people who insist in living in darkness and living in corruption and deception and manipulation, that those are the people who are threatened. And so David, by the time Solomon came to the throne, David's son, there was peace to be had with every surrounding nation. You know, Solomon may have been the one that amassed a tremendous amount of wealth, but David wasn't doing too shabby. There are people who estimate that David's contribution to the building of the temple, which was not much larger than the size of our building. Our building is basically a 50 by 100 building that was built, actually 50 by 90, 45 by 90. The roof is 50 by 100. But it was built back in the late 50s. The temple itself wasn't too much larger than that. It was significantly taller. And I can only imagine what a church board would say if you said, okay, we're going to build a sanctuary, about a 5,000 square foot sanctuary, and it's going to cost north of $1 billion. You'd say, well, I mean, that's a real coffer. But David said, look, we're not just building a building for men. We're building a temple for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so David was not only delivered, but he was exalted to a position of authority. And it says, a people I have not known shall serve me. Okay. I will tell you this, that with the grace of God in operation in our lives, even the attacks of other people upon us can end up serving us well. I'll say that again. Even though not pleasant, with the grace of God in operation in our lives, even the attacks that have been launched against us can serve us well. You see, when an attack has come and God has given you victory over it and made a way of escape for you and positioned you in a position of authority over that situation, then it enhances your faith in God that says, if God delivered me from the lion, I believe he can deliver me from the bear. If God delivered me from the lion and the bear, I believe that God is going to deliver me from the hand of Goliath. If God has delivered me from the hand of Goliath and the lion and the bear, I believe that God is going to be able to deliver me from the hand of Saul. Okay, so David had been delivered from the threats of nature. He had been delivered from the threats of foreign enemies. He had been delivered from the threats of domestic what were supposed to be allies. He was delivered from betrayal. He was delivered from Doeg the Edomite. He was delivered from the Philistines. He was delivered from the inhabitants of Keilah, people who he had treated well. And he says, now, these are going to serve me. They are going to work for me. You see, if God is for us, who can be against us? So there are a lot of people who, because of the attacks that they experienced earlier in life, they tend to act like what we called out in Oklahoma, roly-polies. I don't really know what they are. They're just some little insect. But whenever they get threatened, they coil up and they have an external shell around them. But the reality is, even though that shell might protect them from a light attack, if a weighty attack comes, they're going to be crushed under that underfoot. God doesn't want us recoiling into a fetal position. He wants to deliver us so that when we are dealing with other people who are going through similar things, We will deal with them with mercy. We will deal with them with compassion. And we'll see God do for them the same thing that he has done for us. A people I have not known shall serve. Don't let the pains of the past imprison you. Let God's deliverance from those things, let his healing operate in your life to such an extent that they will serve you. There are ministries to be birthed. You know, in Corinthians, it talks about, I will comfort others with the comfort that I have received from the Lord. He is the God of all comfort. And he pours out that comfort in our life. He delivers us in our life. And if we will really allow him to develop in us, we will see that that it will work for us. It says, as soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideout. Whenever I see that word submit, and I looked up the meanings of all of these words. Every time I see that word submit, I think back to the teaching that I've shared on here before about living under mission. Okay. So let me read this one more time. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners, those people who come from a different background than from what I come from, they live under my mission. They willingly place themselves under mission to help me succeed. What if I told you that God was the first person to realize the value of networking together? That it is not about what I can do, it's about what we can do together. So I'm the pastor, but I live under mission to help my worship leader succeed as she lives under the mission to create an atmosphere where the word of God can go forth. I have an office manager. I've said it before. I'll say it again. And that is this. I believe she's the best office manager in Brevard County. And so I told her that one day and she said, just Brevard County? And it's like, well, I don't know all of the other office managers outside of Brevard County. I'm not setting that as the ceiling. I'm just setting that as the area of expertise. She does a phenomenal job. She sets herself up to help me in my mission with all of the things that I've got going on. I'm believing that there's going to be a change in my dynamic because I need supernatural strength just to be able to pull off everything that I have on my plate. So she sets me up to succeed by operating under the mission that I operate under. And with the same fact, I set her up to succeed by providing her with all of the tools and everything that she needs to be able to be successful. Okay? And so we can't look at people who are different from us as threats. We need to look at them as the recipients of God's love and realize there's blessings that God has placed in their life. The grace of God is not without effect. When we say yes to people coming to Jesus who don't look like us, don't speak like us, don't act like us, their culture is a little bit different. I tell you what we're going to see is that we're going to understand the grace of God better, and we're going to be able to reach more people. So several years ago, my daughter started the youth ministry at our church, and we started having people, young people who came. And the thing was, the young people who started coming, their primary language wasn't necessarily English. They spoke English, they understood English, but they were also fluent in another language. They were fluent in Spanish. And so some of their parents started coming. And they almost spoke exclusively Spanish. And so one of the ladies who was drawn to our church, she testified that when she moved down here, she was driving by our church and God kept telling her, "That's the church that I want you to go to," which was an answer to prayer for us. We had prayed that prayer for years and years and years. And so that night that I'm talking about, we were having a time of fellowship before the youth service, and one of the parents was there, and was when this lady from our church started talking with her, the lady said, I don't understand English." And so this lady, who had just been coming for a year or so, she started communicating with her in Spanish. Now, I recognize Spanish because I've taken, you know, several years of Spanish, and I speak about a word for every year that I took it. But I recognized it, and so I told this lady, I said, "I did not realize that you spoke Spanish." And she looked at me and she said, "Pastor Bob, I'm Hispanic." I said, "Oh, I didn't know that." And she said, "You didn't know I was Hispanic?" I said, "No." She said, "Well, what did you think I was?" I said, "I didn't think about it at all. I just recognized that the grace of God was living inside of you. And I wasn't necessarily looking for the ethnicity. I was looking at the grace of God. And if God hadn't ministered to her, then she wouldn't have been in the right position to minister to this other person. I'm here to tell you, folks, we need God to deliver us. We need God to deliver us from some of the misconceptions that we had about other people, and say, God, I believe that you can cause all of us to work together in such a way that we live under mission, and that is under the mission to be a blessing to God and to be a blessing to other people. So, praise God. We're here in the last part of the program, the last half of this program. So let me take you to verse number 46. My Bible has two exclamation points here, and it says, "The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted." David said, "I've been delivered from all of the strivings, the attacks, the arguments, the controversies. I have been exalted and been given authority over other people who are helping me to be successful in things that God has called me to do. The Lord lives." I want to start this week off by reminding myself, reminding you, reminding God is alive. Jesus is alive. The sovereign one, the self-existent God, is very much alive and active in our day and time. Don't believe for a moment that Jesus is unaware of what you're going through, is unmoved by what you're going through, or is incapable of delivering you from whatever you're going through. So, I preached this message at church. It was out of Jeremiah chapter 8, and it was a message interrupted. But in Jeremiah chapter 8, let me just turn over there and read this so you'll know. You know, a lot of people call Jeremiah the weeping prophet. Well, if Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, it was because the God he served was weeping over the condition of his people. Verse number 21 says this, "For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people?" Let me take you back to Psalm 18. The Lord lives. Now I will tell you this. If you're hurting today, if you're under attack, then God is under attack because he's right there with you. If you are grieving today, he is grieving there with you. If you're hurting physically, he has experienced that as well. And I will tell you this, the status quo is not satisfactory. God is not just looking for a slight improvement in your situation or a superficial treatment of your situation. He is looking for a radical deliverance in your life because he's alive. And where other people may only treat things superficially, God is wanting to bring substantive deliverance in your life. So the day that I preached this, I was preaching about if you're hurting, if there is affliction in your body, God wants to bring healing. He wants to bring complete healing in your life. So let me tell you what happened that day. First time this has ever happened, in the middle of preaching this message, a person in my church began to have a medical crisis that ended up them having to take him by ambulance to a hospital. Later that same day, a person we were praying for got promoted into the presence of Jesus for all of eternity. And the devil began to attack. He began to attack and he said, "See, this is what you believe. This is what you proclaimed, but look at what I'm doing." And I want you to understand that any time the devil launches out an attack, I believe that I'm getting closer and closer to the heart of God. I'm getting closer to understanding God better. And so I don't look at those attacks as discouragement. I believe that those attacks mean that we're getting closer and closer to pay dirt. We are believing at Merit Assembly of God that we're going to experience a wave of people being healed in Jesus' name. That's what I sensed from God at the end of 2019, is that we needed to focus on the people of Merit Assembly of God being healthy. And so we believe nothing's too hard for God. And I refuse to give the devil any credibility when he says God doesn't care. I remind him that he's a liar and he doesn't know the truth. He doesn't speak the truth. He doesn't live the truth. So I'm not going to give him any credibility. So whenever he tries to get me to believe that God is dead to my situation, I want to remind him of Psalm 18, the Lord lives. Whenever he tries to say that God is impotent, I want to remind him that the Lord lives. And I might not understand everything that is going on, but I know this, that in the final say of things, there's deliverance that is coming because my deliverer lives, the Lord lives, and he is to be praised. Blessed be my rock. Not just from head knowledge, not just intellectually, but he is my rock spiritually. He is my rock physically. He's my rock financially. He's the foundation of my relationships. He's the foundation. He's the very purpose for which I live. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Today, I want to conclude by saying this. Don't try and live your life all by yourself. Don't try and go it alone. You were meant to be a part of a family of believers, a family of people who say, you know what, when you're hurting, I'm hurting. When you're rejoicing, I'm rejoicing. And so if you are one of those people and you're praying for healing and that healing hasn't manifest yet, I tell you what I'm doing. I'm starting to share testimonies. I'm starting to read testimonies of other people and rejoice with them. I'm not jealous of their healing. I'm thankful for their healing. God's using their healing, and the same God that healed them is going to be the same God who heals us. He's the same God who's going to use their testimony to build the kingdom of God, and he's going to use our healing to bring the testimony that's going to bring glory to God. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. I pray today that you will not allow anything to silence your praise. I pray no person at work will be able to distract you from giving glory and honor and praise to the King of Kings. Don't let anything that's going on in any arena of your life get you off message today. God's alive. My Lord is alive. Blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. I tell you what, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Lion of the tribe, the people, the group of people who praise God because he's worthy to be praised. I pray today that Jesus will roar in your life, that the word of God will go forth and fear will fill the heart of the enemy. And he knows that God is on the move in your life. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.